Wow, it got quiet very quick. Yeah. Hey, if you don't know me, I'm Pastor Robin, the pastor of the church here. And I had the privilege of being Paul and Debbie's pastor. And so I just want to invite you to join in with us today in any way that your heart is leading you. We know that as we come into celebrations of life, we are celebrating those that we get to spend some time with here on the earth, but we also know that the celebration comes with some mourning. And I just want to let you know that today, whatever you're processing, all of that is reasonable here in this place. And we want to thank you for coming and sharing those emotions and sharing those memories and those experiences that you've had. Later on, you'll have a chance to do that more. But first of all, I just want to thank you for being here. Being with people is so important. There's a couple words that describe loss. One of them is bereavement. It means to have something taken from you that you didn't want to give away. And in that way that all of us are bereaved here today, that's why we're here. Another word is grief. And grief is the way that we process things personally when we have something taken away from us we didn't want. And the final one is mourning. And mourning actually means to come together to support one another when we've experienced losses or trials or things. And so today we come together and we do that very thing. We support one another. And so on behalf of Paul and Debbie and the Ashback family, we just want to thank you all for being here to share this time together to celebrate a life well lived and which obviously impacted each one of us in powerful ways, being the very reason that we're here. So if you would join me in prayer, I'd love to pray now, and then we will come together and share some great memories and some times of support. Lord God, thank you that we can join like this, that you have created relationships, that they come from you, that you desire them between us and with you, and that in times like this when we don't know what to say or we have a lot of things to say, that not only are other people listening, but you're listening. Because you love and you care, and life is so powerful and precious. It's a gift from you. Lord, would you be with us today? Would you help us to remember in fond ways and to support one another when things are challenging? But Lord, we really depend upon you. You're the one who can pull all things together, and you have a plan that we're going to talk about today that means this isn't the end. This is just a chapter. It's really just even the introduction of life. And there's so much more for all those who've put their trust in you. So with that, Lord, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you could all make it, and I'm sure that Debbie appreciates all of you being here. Paul is missed. Paul was one of my right-hand guys here, and I'll never forget that phone call. It was kind of a shock, so I've missed him, and I'm sure all of you have, and so we've been lifting up Debbie through all of this, and she has asked me to do Paul's eulogy, and I was more than happy to do that. So again, I just want to thank you all for being here. Paul was suddenly taken home to be with the Lord on September 13th, 2025, just 3 days before his 68th birthday. He had been a resident of Yacolt, Washington for the past 30 years. He grew up in Portland, Oregon, as a part of a family of five. His mom, Agnes, was a school teacher. His dad, Eugene, was also a school teacher and later a school principal. He had two older brothers, Bruce and Dale. He played baseball, he ran track, and he was also on the wrestling team. He worked in various trades throughout the years, including warehousing, manufacturing, aluminum smelting, and several more, where he had made lasting friendships and was well respected by his supervisors, team leaders, and peers alike. He took pride in helping train others and also in being an effective and caring safety team leader. He loved his German Shepherd dog, Victor. In fact, he was crazy about dogs, and he had many fur babies throughout his lifetime. He loved country music, camping, hiking, taking impromptu road trips, gardening, and watching NASCAR races. Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were his favorite drivers. For a time in the 70s and 80s, Paul enjoyed being a part of the number 47 pit crew for race car driver Art Roth at the Portland Speedway. He met his wife Debbie in 1979 at Allied Plating in Portland, where they were both employed. They were married 2 years later. In August of 1981, and he enjoyed another short 44 years together. He loved spending time on his beloved Gwim's Island, where he helped his parents built a retirement home that was completed in 1980, and he still enjoyed and is still enjoyed by family members. Today, Paul's stepson, Steve, helped build the old woodshed. While he attempted to hammer in a few nails, he was only about 5 years old at the time. Steve fondly remembers that as a family, they enjoyed going out in the boat with Uncle Bruce to fish for crab and the crab boil that followed, and also digging for clams when the tide was right. Paul enjoyed attending activities with Steve, from preschool plays to car races in Portland to school sporting events throughout the years while Steve played baseball and soccer. He participated as an assistant coach for Steve's baseball team for a time. He took his role as a stepdad and a step-grandpa very seriously. He greatly loved, in his own quiet way, his stepson Steve and his step-grandson Tyler. He was very proud of the men that they have come to be. Debbie's greatest and proudest moments, in fact, was Debbie's first plane ride, and they weren't going to miss it for the world. Paul loved all of his nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews, and beyond, even those he hadn't been able to meet yet, except through pictures shared on Facebook. He thoroughly enjoyed every one of his family. He was the type of guy who believed that if they're a friend of yours, they're a friend of mine. So he adopted all of Debbie's friends as his own. He selflessly stayed home with the doggies so that Debbie could frequently travel to Selah for her classmates' get-together, even if the date fell on their wedding anniversary. Wow, that's dedication. Paul participated in Second Saturday with whatever projects were needed in the community. He helped with a lot of the cleaning up at Camp Hope, which is a nonprofit youth camp in Battleground. He provided outdoor-based educational and recreational programs for kids. He took an active role here as part of Freedom Community Church's family. We called him our quarterback, or our lobby coordinator. He loved Sundays, being here in the Lord's house with his church family and helping wherever he was needed. He enjoyed making the rounds, checking in on the children and teachers down the hall. Even though he was no longer officially a part of the security team, he never stopped watching out for everyone's safety. He will be remembered for his kind and generous servant's heart, and he is greatly missed. The family would like to suggest that the memorials to be made to Donald D. Trunke, Center for Civilian and Combat Casualty Care, OHSU, Portland, Oregon. It was interesting today to see Paul's picture. It kind of hit me again. Sometimes you don't know how much you're going to miss somebody till they're not there. But Paul was my quarterback. I used to sit at the table at the back of the church every Sunday, and when I wasn't here, he was the guy to fill in for me. And even when I was here, he was helping me out, and he was a big part of this church family, and we all loved him dearly. And you know, I guess in some ways, I can be jealous, because he's standing face to face with the Lord. And he's rejoicing, and if he was ever in pain, I never knew Paul to be in any pain. In fact, when all of this happened, it was sudden, and none of us really saw it coming. But the Lord had other plans. Just as Scripture says, we have an appointed time, and when that time comes, doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, when the Lord calls us, we're gone. But in the vacuum and the void of his being gone, we grieve. We grieve because we lost somebody that we loved, somebody we loved dearly. But I'm thankful we have the Lord to lean upon. We know that he loved the Lord, and we also know that we will see him again. What a day that will be. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Marley Flexick on up here to say a few words.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marley, and I just feel like a little backstory can help understand how Paul made the impact he did for me and my son. So if I get teary, forgive me. I started coming to this church about a year ago with my son Nathaniel, and I wanted to share a small story about how Paul made an impact on our lives. When Nate and I first came to Washington, we were coming out of a really hard chapter. I had just been medically retired from the Navy, and we were finally allowed to leave California after my divorce from an abusive husband. And we were completely in a season of rebuilding after a lot of difficulty and pain. Nate has special needs, and his dad's mistreatment left deep scars on both of us. And for quite a while, my son struggled to separate from me, to the point where I couldn't sit in the main service with everyone, and I actually stayed in the kids' classroom and watched church and streamed it online in listening to headphones so I could help him feel safe. And that's where I first noticed Paul, the man with the white mustache and the radio. He wasn't loud. He wasn't trying to stand out. He just had this quiet, steady presence. He'd walk through the building, checking on everyone, always observant and kind. And week after week, he would stop by the doorway, and somehow, without even trying, he became a safe person for Nate. Nate would light up when he would see him stand in the doorway. And before long, they would start tossing a ball back and forth, and Paul would just crack a tiny little smile, ever so slightly. And tell me that Nate had quite the arm for his age. And sometimes he would even start a game of hide-and-go-seek with the kids. To anyone else, it probably looked like a man taking a moment with the kids. But to us, it was so much more. It was one of the first times in a long time that I saw my son relax around someone new. Paul's quiet kindness made both of us feel safe, in a season where safety was something that we were still trying to regain. So there's a verse that I think Paul embodied very well. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but on the interest of others. And from what I was able to observe, Paul didn't need to be in the spotlight to be noticed to make that kind of impact. He simply showed up to the security team each Sunday with humility, kindness, and a steady heart that made others feel cared for. I recently heard Allie Beth Stuckey say something that resonated with me, and she said that we are not the main character in our own life or in anyone else's. We're one of maybe 10,000 people that God will use to complete somebody else's testimony. We're one vessel, one seed planter, and our job is to follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit and align ourselves with God's word without compromise. And then we let God take it from there. And I think that truth fits perfectly here. Paul was one vessel, one seed planter. And through small faithful moments, like tossing a ball with a little boy who didn't know how to trust, he became part of God's healing work in our story. I might not have known Paul deeply, but the Lord allowed me to know him just enough to see his goodness through Paul's life. His commitment to serving on the security team reminded us that God's healing often comes through faithful people who simply show up with love. And I thank God that he used Paul to be that for us.
My name is Shelley, and I've been asked to read from John and Jeanette Loudon, Remembering Paul Ashback. We knew Paul Ashback for some 30 years. During that time, we shared dinners together, spent weekends together at Paul's family home on Guam Island, and were the recipients of Paul's kind and giving heart. If you were in need, Paul was there to help without being asked. Whether it was bringing food when you were ill or offering to help with some project around the house, Paul happily reached out to those in his circle. We will miss his friendship, support, kindness, and remembering him always with fondness. Debbie asked me to read that for Paul, and I said, only if I can share a couple stories. And right now, Paul is going, oh boy. I don't even know how long I've known Paul and Debbie. I just know that we worked in Second Saturday together, that we worked alongside each other. And I don't know if many of you have done a lot of mission projects together, but when you work alongside somebody, you get to know them, if not on a real familial level, you at least get to know their likes, their quirks, their heart. And one thing about Paul is that he was really quiet, but he was also really joyful. And I don't know how that, I just don't even know how to make that blend. But I do know this, that sometime years ago, he started poking me. I don't know why. I don't remember what went on. But after that, anytime I saw Paul or he saw me, we had to be the first one to poke the other one because that was the winner. I know, it was a weird game. So in honor of him, I bought a polka dot dress. And Kim got the memo. But he just had so many very subtle, funny things. I remember just recently my dad had his 90th birthday, and he's got cancer, and he's not supposed to be around large crowds, so I told everybody in a text chain to email or to text him happy birthday, but I put in his wrong birthday or his wrong phone number. And so everybody started texting they started texting that number. Yeah, everybody was texting that number. Everybody. And then it came back to the main text group, and somebody said, I think it was David Newton, he said, you guys got to stop this. That's not Ron's number. And I went, what? We were having a birthday party at the time. And I said, oh, man, you know, my mind is blank. Paul was the very first to say, isn't it always? Poke. And he even put a little finger poke emoji. And then I said, well, now that you mentioned it, and then more pictures started coming in and more stuff. And Paul on another line or another separate text says, make it stop. My mind's blank now. But so he just wouldn't do that in a big public area, but in this background, he would make you laugh. He would. And he also was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Patient. Paul was very patient. One day I brought a Bobo cup of coffee, sat in the back with the lid up, and immediately kicked it over underneath my chair. And I'm like, uh-oh. And Paul said, I'll go get some napkins. And he was running out, and I'm thinking, you better get a lot. So he comes back with like five or six, and I sop it up, and he hands the garbage can to me. I need more. And he goes, I'll go get more. So he runs all the way back to the back bathroom, comes back out with another five or six. I'm like, okay. So I sop it up, put it in the garbage can. I'm going to need more. It was his fourth trip back that I pulled my chair up, and he said, in a very loud voice, because we were in the back and surface was going, did you spill the whole thing? He said, you should have told me, I would have brought the mop. Sorry, Paul. But there he was in the back. He always saw you. He always saw what was going on in the service. And I can't tell you how many times I look back in that back corner and I expect to see Paul there, and he's not. But he's probably close. And most of all, I think I tell you, when I think of Paul, I just don't think of someone that takes center stage. But I do think of someone that knew everyone and everyone's family. I was away with Janine and Janine Brickner, and she has a family of three kids, Ellie, Claire, and Ben. And every time Janine said that she saw Paul, he would say, and how's Ellie? How's my Ellie? How's Ben? How's Claire? And when she told me that, I thought, that's true. Every time I saw Paul, if I didn't have my squad walking in with me, he would start going through. How's your mom and dad? How's Leslie? Her boys? And he'd go through the list. How's Maddie? Is Lainey here with you? And he genuinely cared about how they were. It wasn't a just, how's your family? No, he names them by name. And he genuinely cared for what you were saying. So I just thank God that he allowed our families to mesh, and he put Paul and Debbie in our lives. And I will say, heaven just got richer. And before I jump off the stage, I mean walk. I don't know why. I prayed that the Lord would give me something profound. And Proverbs 27:17. And I don't know why it came, because it just didn't seem like it was fitting. But then I started researching it a little bit. And it said, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And it was, as I dug in, it said, it highlights the mutually beneficial nature of relationships, where both individuals gain something from the interaction. And I'd like to think that Paul was brightened by the church, by all of his interactions with all of his church family. But I know for a fact that our lives, our church family lives, were brightened by Paul. And that's all I have. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, Shelley. And since this is a celebration of life, of Paul's life, we do want to celebrate, because to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And so we want to celebrate that Paul's with the Lord now. So sing with us as we sing I'll Fly Away. And I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore.
hallelujah by and by.
You know, one of the benefits of getting together to celebrate someone's life is you get to hear all the stories that you maybe never knew before. And as you hear the stories about Paul, they're good stories because he's a good guy and he did a lot of incredible things here. I have a real privilege of being both Debbie and Paul's pastor, and I remember my first connection, something that was already mentioned today, that was a little deeper with Paul. And we had done service projects and stuff, but we went out to this place called Camp Hope, and we were doing Second Saturday, which was kind of an extreme home makeover, but it extended to camps and ministries and all kinds of different places. And so Paul was out there because we were going to be doing some preparation work for when the hundreds of volunteers would come out. And I went out to visit Steve, and there's Paul, and the two of them were playing Pyromaniac. And you know, work can be fun and dangerous. And the two of them, they took the whole camp thing really seriously because I think they were camping out there. Like every time I showed up to try to figure out something else or to drop off supplies or to make a list, there were Paul and Steve. And there was always a fire somewhere or a couple of them going. And they were grabbing all the branches from this neglected area and sitting in their chairs or with their blower at the base of the fire, seeing if they could make it just a little bit bigger. And Steve said to me today, he said, "Yeah, Paul taught me things about fire. I thought I knew everything about fire until I was with Paul." And they just had massive pieces going out there I'm sure we needed a permit for that we never got, but the work got done. And what I learned about Paul is when Paul saw something that needed to be done, again, he didn't grandstand it to everybody. He didn't tell everybody he was doing it. He just did it. And when he enjoyed it, because he enjoyed doing it with people, he would continue doing it, looking for what needed to be done and just jumping in, investing in the work. When we planted this church, it was an honor to have Paul and Debbie here as part of the family. I'm still so grateful for Debbie. There's been a lot of people hanging out at her home with us. We were cutting up some trees in Paul's honor on Monday in her driveway and just really enjoying each other and learning how to drive that new lawn tractor he bought that Debbie is now getting painted pink, I think, from what I understand. And when Paul saw something in the church body that needed to be done, he just did it. And that's, again, the way it worked. You know, we didn't say, "Hey, Paul, there's a lot of needs here on a Sunday morning to coordinate and get people together, and we were thinking of you." We said, "Hey, Paul, we've noticed that you're involved in, well, kids ministry, ushers, greeters, security, setup, tear down, hospitality." And I'm like, "What is your official role here?" And he goes, I don't know. And I'm like, "Paul, I think we're going to have to make a role for you. Would you be willing to be the quarterback of Freedom Community Church?" And he and Debbie went home and thought about it. And he said, "Yes." And, you know, nothing really changed because he was already the quarterback. We just all realized that he was doing it. And so he became the first and official quarterback here. And in between all the things he was doing, one thing I will share, my mom is not here today, but my mom has now become a great, great grandmother. And sometimes I like to just carry that out to the great, 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 great. And at some point she says, "Stop, I'm old enough." But she doesn't walk as stably as she used to. And one thing she would call and tell me, because she can't remember what she told me, every Sunday she'd call and she said, "Paul comes out and he waits for me to park my car. And he walks outside, whether it's rain or shine, and he comes and grabs me and holds my arm and walks me inside to make sure that I'm okay." And he did that every Sunday for my mom. But not just my mom. That's what I think is so special. I mean, I love it that he helped my mom, but if you had a need and Paul could meet the need, he didn't wait for an invitation. He just did it. And he did it joyfully. He would laugh with my mom and joke with her and make her feel so special, because to Paul, she was special. And so was every person that came in the door. They weren't experiencing some training that he got with how to be a greeter, how to keep people coming. He was just being Paul. And that wasn't just Sunday morning, though, too. I mean, something about fire, firewood, and trees is synonymous with Paul. And he and Debbie would come over to the house and say, hey, do you need some firewood? I'd say yes, and the next minute I know I need a forklift to move all the firewood. And then they'd just stay and connect, and we'd sit out in the driveway and talk for an hour leaning over the bed of a truck until the next appointment in our lives would interrupt the connection and we'd have to get back to it. But that's just who Paul was and is. He's in a different location, but he's the same Paul. We'll come back to that in a minute. And he would send pictures. In the pictures, can you guess what they were? Guaymas Island and his dogs. Those are the pictures. I think occasionally I got a bird, but where was it at? At the island. And I would just get flooded with these beautiful pictures, and they would be thinking all the time of other people when they were having this incredible adventure and life of their own. And Paul certainly loved Debbie. Still does. The impact Paul had on the members of this family and of his family and beyond is probably beyond calculating, but what is running through many people's minds. I hope you're playing with those memories today. I hope as you were hearing other people tell stories, it was bringing up your own stories, or you were filling in the gaps of personal information and pieces you had, because that's one of the reasons we come together, to remember and celebrate a life well lived. And that's what Paul did. He was such a special gift to you. That's why you're here. And the gift is not over. This is where I get to put on my pastor hat, because I want to explain what I mean by that. What I found is that when somebody dies in this body, and that's a very important statement, there tend to be four main things that we kind of think about. And I'm going to guess that you're thinking of at least one of these and have probably kicked around all of them a little bit. And they all come based on my understanding of God's word, and I just want to share them with you. And the first one is that death is a painful reminder. It reminds us that this body that we're in is not going to last forever. It is going to perish at some point. I think we can all testify to that. I mean, we've seen that and experienced that with our own eyes. It also reminds us that everyone we know and love will at one time die and will be separated from them for a period of time. Right? And the period of time we'll come back to in a bit. Or they're going to be raptured, which has always been my favorite option, but I haven't met anybody there yet. Everybody so far has gone to be with him. Another painful reminder is that the death of someone means you can't just pick up the phone and call them. You can't just stop by their house and spend a little bit of time with them or drop off cookies and do all the things that were meaningful and powerful before. They're holes now. And they're kind of wonderful and terrible holes all at the same time. They're wonderful because they wouldn't be a hole at all if that person didn't impact us, if we weren't carrying their memories and all the joys and seasons that we had with them, even the seasons where maybe we got upset and had to make up, or maybe where you just did something funny, or you just worked side by side. There's holes now. And it reminds us that our days here on earth are relatively short. They're not all that long in the span of eternity. They're just a blip. And if that was all there was that we would think about, the painful parts, it would just be too much. But here's where I'm so grateful that God has spoken, and spoken so clearly, not ambiguously. And here's point number two. Death brings about a precious realization that for anyone who trusts in Jesus, their soul and their spirit will live on forever. The Bible tells us we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And the body will die. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament prophets would say they sleep, because they realize that even in that, that's not the end of the story of the body. But we know that the soul and the spirit live on forever. And the Bible's clear for us: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The minute that a believer takes their last breath here, they're in the presence of God instantaneously. Paul would even say, you know, it's great to be in this body, but while we're here, we're absent from the Lord, and it would be better, even well-pleasing, to be present with the Lord. And Paul is saying, amen, I love you all, but Jesus, he's the best. And he's seeing him, and he's experiencing him, and he's encountering him. And what an incredible realization. Although life is sometimes hard, we also realize that it's very good. I know that depending on your depth of relationship with Paul, even in his little shorter than 68 years, not every encounter you had with him might have been perfect. You could probably go back to some times and go, because we all have those, right? But even in those, we realize, especially now that Paul is not here, that those even are precious memories, because they led to something, to reconciliation, to an accounting of all the good times that you did have too. And we realize that even though life is hard, it's very good. That's why there is some grieving. It also brings us to the precious realization that Jesus, as the scriptures have said, has defeated death in the grave. He makes that claim. If Jesus had gone to the cross and died but wasn't resurrected, we'd still be stuck in our sin. But he defeated the consequence of sin in the resurrection. And he made it possible for you and I to have eternal life, resurrected life. And that precious realization brings us to this, that there's way more to come than what has passed. Way more. Beyond our imagination. This brings us to the third thing I tend to think about, and I think many of us do. And that there is a promised resurrection for us also. It wasn't just Jesus who was resurrected. He was the first fruit of many. Many who have put their faith in him. We will be raised to new and eternal life in a glorified body. I know a lot of people don't understand that. A dear brother and sister came to me and were talking about the body, and they're like, I can't wait to get rid of this failing thing and get my new body. And it's a misunderstanding in Scripture. What we're told is that we will die physically, never spiritually, never who we are, our soul, but this body will die. And then we're told it's going to be resurrected. This body, but in a glorified state, a state that gravity has no effect upon, that doesn't sin or desire sin, that will never die again or get sick or experience weeping. We realize there's a resurrection for all who have put their faith in Jesus, and we will be free from what is now frail. And even the strongest of people, their bodies break, but one day no more. The promised resurrection is because Jesus told us that he was resurrected and then gave us experiences of his resurrected body to dispel so many of the things that people misunderstand. You will not be a chubby little angel with wings floating around on a cloud. That is not it. The body says you will not be a disembodied spirit. The Bible tells us that specifically. What it does tell us is that when we are raised, Paul tells us, we don't know yet what we like he is. And what is, people touched him. They saw him. They talked to him. He sat in a chair. He cooked for the disciples and sat and ate with them. And we start to understand that in this resurrected body, there is so much more life to be lived. But without all the consequences of sin and the fall. And you go, wow. In the midst of our temporary loss, there is an eternity to be had. And finally, that brings me to the last thought, that there's a perpetual reunion. The Bible says that when we are raised and when we are with Jesus, corruption will never see us again. It will be gone. You know, in corruption, sometimes we think of that as somebody acting corruptly, but it's the condition of the world and of the flesh and of our current surroundings. They were supposed to be perfect. They were supposed to be eternal. And God says, look, I'm going to restore what you gave away in the fall. And you're going to experience that with me. And speaking of their resurrected state, Luke 20:36 says, and they, believers who have died in this earthly body, will never die again. We're going to be resurrected even bodily. In this respect, they are like the angels. You're not angels. You're not a cherub floating around on the clouds. But what he means is you will be eternal. You're going to exist forever in that resurrected state. And he goes on to say, they are children of God and children of the resurrection. He makes sure to put that in there. The resurrection. You know, I was recently at another service, a celebration of life, and God had brought this remembrance to me, and I'm going to date myself, but I think looking around the room, most of you are going to be there with me. There was a singer named Eric Clapton, and he lost his son tragically. And he wrote this incredible song, Tears in Heaven. And he asked this question there, and he says, "Will you know my name if I saw you in heaven?" And he goes on and asks another question, "Will it be the same if I saw you in heaven?" And then he makes a statement, "Beyond the door, there's peace for sure, because I know there'll be no more tears in heaven." Now, here's the thing. His statement was right. But his two questions don't have to be questions, because God has answered them for us in the Bible. He said, "Well, will you know my name?" Well, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, that we're going to know each other face to face. You're going to know and be known. It's not the end of the story. Will it be the same? No, because corruption and sin and death, all the sorrow, all the things that kind of come with the joys and the life we have now won't exist there. And he was right. There'll be no more tears in heaven. And we're going to be there one day if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All this to say, this is only for a season. I miss Stephen Paul in the corner too. I miss interacting with him and watching him bring my mom in. But you know what? Paul didn't stop there. He raised up others to do the same. A young man named Robert now goes out and greets my mom and walks her in, because Paul taught the young man how to be a man. What an impact we have now, and what a future we have with him forever because of Jesus Christ. That's why this is a celebration of life. If those facts didn't exist, I got to be honest with you, I could not celebrate today. I would just be grieving. I'd be broken. But in the midst of broken, I am so overjoyed for him. If you were to pray for Paul to come back, he'd be so mad at you right now. He loves you. He wants to be with you. Paul had an opportunity to go and to be with God. It's kind of a mystery in the Bible. And he says, you know, I've thought about this long and hard. And he says, you know, for me, it would be better to go and be with God, but I'd rather be with you for your sake. And if Paul could choose, he would probably be here for your sake. But I'll tell you, where he's finding joy forever is in the presence of the one who purchased him with his own blood. He's with Jesus. It's finished. And one day, we'll be there too. We're going to take a few minutes here, and we're going to watch half a slideshow now, just two songs worth of the slides. I'm saving half of it so that when I send you out for cake, I know you're coming back. And then you're going to come back and enjoy the other half of the slideshow. And then after that, we'll have a little chance for you to share too briefly, and hopefully PG or less accounts of your life with Paul. So would you enjoy what Debbie and the family have put together now? Then we'll do a little bit of an open mic, and I'll come back, close out a little bit, give you some cake, and we'll finish watching the rest of this in a moment. Thank you. We're going to have a brief time of sharing. If you would just help me, if you'll keep the stories a little bit short, because there might be quite a few people who do want to share. There's no way we're going to get to everybody. But if you would do that and make sure you keep them in the PG realm would be very helpful. If you have some other stories to share, once we're done with this and we'll close out a little bit, like I said, we'll let you go grab some cake and some food and come back and you can share stories with everybody and watch the rest of the slideshow. But is there anybody now who has something to share? Raise your hand high because I won't be able to see you. Okay, that went really fast. Is this a shy audience? It's shy. Okay. And when you use the mic, please do hold it really close to your mouth. It doesn't work out here or down here.
I just want to share a little bit of two things about Paul. One was about 6 or 7 years ago, the church will remember you guys helped us move. Right, and talk about, he was one of the pyro guys that was on our acreage just burning stuff, managing things, and I'll just never forget my mom pointing Paul out and saying, who is that man? Because he has been here from the beginning, and everybody's leaving, and they're still here, him and his wife. And it was Paul and Debbie. And with a smile on his face, he's just like, is there anything else that needs to be done? Well, a month later, things happened and we had to move again. And Paul and Debbie were there again and just wanting to serve. And it just touched my heart. And Paul, the second thing I want to share was one day, every time I come in, I always hug Ray. Ray's my Hawaiian brother. And he's my brother's best friend, and when I feel like I'm hugging him, I feel like I'm hugging my brother because they're so close. But one day, Paul was standing behind Ray as Ray hugged me, and he says, hey, I'm your brother too. And I said, yes, you are. He goes, well, then don't I get a hug? And you know, I hugged him, and I just felt such love. He was such a gentle, quiet giant to me. And like Pastor Rob said, what a man he was in modeling gentleness and kindness and days on potluck where women are carrying in things. He was the first one out there getting, you know, their pots to carry, or if we had church outside, grabbing our chairs to carry them for us. So what a gentleman that we lost, but we will see him again, and I'm so grateful for him.
Amen.
Billy should have a story to tell. I saw a picture. Can you explain the purple beard?
She might need that mic. It's coming.
I'm running. Oh, thank you. So Paul had a long gray beard. And I walked in one day, I just got my hair done, colors. The next week, he dyed his beard pink. So I just thought that was very cute of him to do that. So.
Manly.
Yeah.
I love you, Billy, but I wouldn't have done that for you. Anybody else? Any other hands? All right.
One day I came into church, and my mom walked up to me and says, hey, it's your brother's birthday. Don't forget to call your brother. And Paul just happened to overhear that. So every time he saw me, he said, don't forget to call your brother. Until one day it just happened to be one of my brother's birthdays, and I said, I got it. And he was done. He accomplished his goal. He didn't have to say it anymore. And I've never forgotten my brother's birthday.
Good job.
Okay. Paul and me play baseball with me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Shelly, I think we're ready. Okay.
Hi. Okay. Hi, my name's Kelly, and Paul is my uncle, and I just wanted to say that I remember when I was a kid, you know, my dad and my Uncle Paul and my Uncle Ruth would all go to the Rainbow Trout Fish Farm, and they were all teaching me how to fish, and one time I kind of, like, you know, threw the reel back too fast or whatever, and I almost hit my Uncle Paul in the eye, and I just remember kind of chuckling. You know, you just did that kind of, like, half smoke. Yeah, that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. I think what we're going to do now is I want to close out, and then we're going to take a chance for you to go get some of that cake I've been talking about over and over again. Apparently, I have cake on the brain. And then from that point, then we'll come back in and we'll play the rest of the slideshow. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't close this with what was really important to Paul. I remember listening to a pastor and some good music, and the pastor's father was a pastor, and he said, you know, when I was with my dad and my dad was passing, he grabbed me and he said, James, whatever happens from this point, you be there. You be there. And he was talking about heaven. He said, I know you got a lot of things going on in life, you got a lot of things, but whatever happens in this life, you just make sure you're there, because dad was going to heaven. And James knew exactly what he was talking about. He became a very famous guy, James Dobson. And James said, I've never forgot that in all my life. And with all the challenges, all the difficulties, all the things that would come up, I want to see my dad again. I want to be in eternity with him. I knew how important it was for him. I know how important it is for me. And so every day I make sure that I'm in Jesus, that I'm sticking close to him for eternity. And obviously, if you didn't know this already, I'll make sure you know it now, because Paul put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And because of that, everything I talked about earlier is a reality for him. But the question is, will it be a reality for you? God has no grandchildren. You're not born into a Christian family. You don't become a Christian because your dad was a pastor. You become of born-again believer by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And because I do and am going to spend eternity with Paul, and many in this room, we want to make sure the same is true for you too. So I'm going to say what I think he would rather me say than anything else I've said so far. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life, that he died for your sins and was resurrected again, that you could have a resurrected life and be forgiven of all of your sins and spend eternity with all those who have gone before you and with God himself, would you do it today? Romans 10, 9 through 11 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And I just want to offer that opportunity to you today, right where you sit, or if you want to come and talk with me afterwards, I will wait around. I'll gladly put cake off for something far better, which would be to see that you make an eternal decision for Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for being here, for bringing your stories and your support and your remembrance and your tears. And I pray now you'll grab some of that cake. I haven't told you yet there's cake out there. And then you'll just come right back on in. We'll give it about 5 minutes or so, and then we'll play the other half of the slideshow that we're holding you hostage with. Will you just pray with me now before we go and increase our glucose level? Lord God, thank you for the joy of this life, for the sorrow of this life, for all the meaningful things of this life. We're so grateful for you, God. We just pray that you are having a great time, and not that we're asking to see that or make that happen, but we're just delighting that you are having a great time with Paul, and he's having a great time with you. And all the other saints who have gone before, not saints of their own doing, but saints of their faith placed in you. Lord, would you comfort us? Would you help us to remember some of the things that maybe are in the dusty part of the attic of our mind that would be fun to pull forward and to share with one another as we continue to remember and celebrate the life of Paul Ashbach that you let us share with him. We give you thanks for him and for all that you're going to do going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You are released. Thank you. Well, that's the conclusion of today's celebration of Paul's life, but it's definitely not the conclusion of all the memories and stories and experiences. And now comes the time of recollecting and re-experiencing all the pieces that we had with Paul to establish a new relationship with him, a relationship based in those memories. Thanks for sharing yours with us. I hope you'll stay longer and enjoy each other. What a blessing you are. Thank you.